there, guys and gals, all you hip cats, cool kittens, my friends and foes. Welcome to another episode of the Diesel Punk Podcast and Tales from the Flip Side. I am your host, the artist sometimes known as Big Daddy Cool, John Pica. You can call me Johnny, and I am the comic book loving, time traveling, diesel punk prophet of pop culture, the voice of diesel punk. Can you dig that? I knew that you could. Man, it feels good to say that again. And it's been a while since I've come to you guys. Life has been super busy. You've heard Eric and I talk about how crazy things have been. But I wanted to take the opportunity to come to you guys live tonight and talk a little bit about some diesel punk in pop culture. So you've heard Eric and I talking about some upcoming movies. We've been talking about Overlord and Fantastic Beasts 2, and they finally came out, finally got to see them, and so I thought I'd share my thoughts about them. Now, the reviews have been really strong on Overlord, and I'm not going to disagree with any of the reviews. I am just going to say that I thought it was a solid popcorn flick. I thought it was a solid movie, a solid addition to the diesel punk genre. I don't think it was a masterpiece, though, and I'm not sure that I would call it the quintessential diesel punk classic. I thought it might be before I saw it. Having seen it, I will say it's a great addition, and it's a great example of diesel punk. Is it the quintessential classic? Does it replace Sky Captain, Rocketeer, or Captain America First Avenger, Dark City? No, it doesn't. It does, though, do a great job of blending real history with science fiction and fantasy set in the diesel era, and that's what makes it diesel punk. The story revolves around the invasion of Normandy, and before the troops landed on the beaches, there was an advance paratrooper team sent in to go behind enemy lines and disable communications. A bunch of guys parachuted in, and only a few made it. Only a few made it. And this story, this movie, is about a small group of four or five that actually made it to the ground. And their job was to disable the communications tower in this town in France behind enemy lines. And that would help the troops take the Germans by surprise at Normandy. So real life historical events, and this mission was a real mission. This had to be done. But what they did was they interlaced it with this sub-story about the Nazi Germany science ministry and their efforts to experiment and create the Übermenschen, the supermen, the thousand year Reich Army. And this is actually based in history too. We know from history that that Hitler was obsessed with the occult and with hybrid breeding humans with animals. There's legends that he tried to create an army of werewolves to the point that people were scared to death of the Nazi werewolves. There's some that say that it was just a very ruthless pack of SS soldiers. There are other legends that they were real werewolves. Who really knows, right? But You know, Hitler was obsessed with obtaining the Spear of Destiny. He believed that if he had the Spear of Destiny, he would be undefeatable. And Josef Mengele, his chief medical science minister, is known for doing these horrific experiments, you know, psychic experiments, the breeding with animals that I told you about. And that was all historically accurate. That was stuff going on. Now, we know that none of it bore any fruit that we know of. But in this radio communications tower, in this castle, there are these kind of experimentations going on. And apparently there's a mineral in the waterway underneath this city that they've figured out how to tap and create into this formula. Unfortunately, the formula isn't perfect, and it doesn't turn soldiers into supermen per se. It gives them enhanced strength, durability. It's very hard to kill them, but it also turns them into rage zombies, deformed rage zombies. Now, the trailer for this movie made it look like it was an action-packed roller coaster ride. And really, the film is more of a, not psychological, but suspenseful drama. The soldiers spend most of the movie scouting their location, planning, doing reconnaissance, befriending some of the locals. And it's really only the last 20 minutes of the movie where they're in the tower and fighting against these rage zombies. Really solid visuals, though. The opening sequence, brilliant. Bravo. The character arcs of the lead characters were really, really strong. And, you know, as I come to think about it, I can't remember any of the characters' names. And I don't want to say this harshly, but it really doesn't matter who they were. They were nameless, faceless soldiers of World War II. But, you know, the story is solid, and at the end, you're left asking a question. What really happened in that little villa in France? I'm going to give it a definite go see. It's a good, solid movie. I have no real criticisms of it, other than the trailer, again, made it look action-packed from beginning to end, and it's really not. There's plenty of action, plenty of suspense. It's just not the way the trailers made it look. The other minute, very small quibble that I would have is the title. I think Overlord is the wrong title. I don't know what I would have called it instead, but Overlord may not be the right title. Reichbusters would have been really great, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. But before we do that, I also saw Fantastic Beasts 2, The Crimes of Grindelwald, and this is another dieselpunk fantasy. Less science fiction, more fantasy, magic. It's set in the late 20s. If you saw the first film was set in New York, diesel punk all the way, all that great Art Deco from the early 20th century of America. This film has less of that because it's set in Paris. Now, you still have the great, you know, 20s style clothing and the stylized, you know, wizard wear of that age, great coats. Man, the coats that they wear were fantastic. Very much a Hugo Boss collar type of coat. The wide brims. Really, really good. It picks up, you know, the story of Newt Scamander. It's a month after the first movie. And I don't want to give away too many spoilers, but all of the cast returns. Tina returns. Queenie returns. Jacob returns. And the story is set around the escape of Grindelwald. And Grindelwald is played by Johnny Depp brilliantly, masterfully. Great, great role for Johnny Depp. He's awesome as kind of these quiet, understated villains. He did a fantastic job. But this movie really serves almost as an origin story for Albus Dumbledore. And that part is played by Jude Law. And Jude Law was really good, really strong. And in this film, this is going to make sense to a lot of people. It really had more of an Empire Strikes Back feeling to it, with Grindelwald as the Darth Vader character. Grindelwald makes Voldemort look like amateur hour. Grindelwald is too cool for the room and uber powerful. He recruits other magicians to his side. His whole thing is, you know, he wants a world where wizards and non-mages, muggles, can coexist. He doesn't want to destroy the muggle race. He wants to coexist with them and be free, or at least that's his pitch. And just spoiler warning, there are some characters that you think are heroes that join the dark side. Likewise, there are some characters that you think are part of the dark side or are going to join Grindelwald on the dark side and turn out to be very heroic. So the real plot is revolving around is that his name? That's going to drive me crazy. Not Constance. That's not a guy's name. I'm going to have to look this up. Anyway, you remember the boy that was played by Ezra Miller in the first one? Excuse me, a little frog in my throat. He returns. He survived the first movie. So, spoiler alert there. And so he's back, and the whole plot is about Dumbledore sending Newt Scamander on a secret mission to protect this boy who finds out is alive. And he wants to protect him from Grindelwald. And there's this relationship between Dumbledore and Grindelwald, and a lot of people are suggesting that it was a homosexual relationship. The movie paints it really more as close brothers, but, who knows? Credence, not Constance, Credence. Credence was played by Ezra Miller, and Credence survived the first movie. They've got to find him and try to keep him from being captured and corrupted by Grindelwald. Let me just say this. I did not pick up on this whole homosexual thing with Grindelwald and Dumbledore. I don't know. I think people want things to be one way a little bit too much. If it is, okay. I don't care, but a lot of people were making much more out of it than I think there was. However, let me just say this. I said this movie is like Empire Strikes Back. If this is a trilogy, this is the Empire Strikes Back of the Fantastic Beasts trilogy. Because the ending leaves you on a cliffhanger that feels like it just punched you in the gut. Let me just say that and leave it at that. It was a good, solid film. It was not, for me, quite as good as the original. And really only it comes down to aesthetics. This one steered more towards the original Harry Potter aesthetics. A lot of the story takes place at Hogwarts. So you have that more European Gothic style than the early American Deco style. It's still there in the clothing, but in terms of the architecture, the vehicles and whatnot, it's a lot less pronounced. And so for me, that was a negative. It left me wanting to know what happens next. So it did its job. I'm going to recommend it. And because it fits all of the criteria of Dieselpunk, it's got the aesthetics of the era, just like Overlord, the look, feel, visuals of the Diesel era, the 20s, 30s, 40s, and into the 50s. It's got science fiction and fantasy, or fantasy. Both of them have that. And it's got punk. In the case of Overlord, it's Allied forces fighting against Nazi oppression, that counterculture, that anti-authoritarian bent, that anti-fascist bent that, you know, we celebrate in Dieselpunk. In Fantastic Beasts, it's more of a celebration of the anti-hero through Grindelwald. He is the one breaking the rules for a better tomorrow. And it's really a celebration of him fighting against the status quo. And that's one of the elements of punk. You know, someone trying to change the status quo. And not always is the hero heroic. Sometimes the hero in our Dieselpunk stories is the villain. And this is the case with Fantastic Beasts. So overall, two great movies, two really strong movies, two really good additions to our Dieselpunk movie list. Now, I told you I thought Overlord would be a better title better movie if it was titled Reichbusters. And strangely enough, today, in my news feed on Facebook, I get a notification that launching tomorrow, November 20th, on Facebook, is the campaign to fund the brand new board game, Reichbusters. And holy cow, this is Dieselpunk to the ninth degree. And we're going to try to get the developers on the show, but I just want you to go to Mythic Games. Do a search for Mythic Games on Facebook or online, and you will see their trailer for Reichbusters. Oh my gosh, I cannot wait for this game to come out. I cannot wait to play it on Dieselpunk Game Night and review it. It's going to be awesome. But their Kickstarter launches on November 20th. And just to give you kind of an overview of the trailer once you see it, it's again, ragtag allies during World War II fighting against Nazi mechs, you know, walking tanks, and mutated soldiers. So it's like, you know, Overlord meets War of the Worlds Goliath. A lot of similar visuals and aesthetics to the board game Scythe. The artwork is a little bit more of a comic book style, but fantastic. It's awesome. You got to check this out. Reichbusters on Kickstarter starting November 20th. Check it out. You'll be glad you did. And hey, when you support them, when you pledge, post a comment that you heard it on the Diesel Punk podcast, that you heard it on Tales from the Flip Side. That would be phenomenal, and I would appreciate that. All right, two last things that I'm going to leave you with. One is, why didn't I know about this before? That's going to be our new segment. Why didn't I know about this before? I'm at Books A Million over the weekend, and I'm just browsing, looking for new stuff, fun stuff to check out. And there, for only a dollar in their comic book section, is a book I had never seen before called The Damned. It's by Oni Press, written by Cullen Bunn, art by Brian Hurt and Bill Crabtree. And if Cullen Bunn sounds familiar to you, he should. He's done a lot of Diesel Punk comic work, most notably his work on The Shadow. Now, this series apparently came out in, let's see, when was this? 2017. So it's not super old. Well, this volume, this is volume 2. I don't know when volume 1 came out, but this is volume 2, Ill-Gotten. And basically, here's the premise. Prohibition era Chicago, but the gangs, the mafia of Chicago, are run by demons. And so all of the crime syndicates are run by families of demons, and only a few people can see them in their true form. And the lead character in this case is one of them. And you know what? I'm trying to remember, trying to see what his name was. He runs this club. And, you know what? I don't know that they ever actually give his name. That is really strange. But it's all about these demons who are looking for this character, Eddie Bones, because he's got secrets. He's got something on them. We don't know what exactly, but really great. Really great artwork. Really cool story premise. And I really loved it. I wasn't sure I would, but I really did. And then I found out today that this is volume 2, and there's actually a volume 3. And you can get all 3 volumes on Amazon, collected editions, or on Comixology if you're into the digital digital formats. It's actually all on digital Comixology Unlimited. So if you're an Unlimited subscriber, you've got all 3 volumes already. But I'm into the hard copies, so I will probably go ahead and buy the collected editions from Amazon. Really, really cool premise. I love it. You know, it's right in line with the book Moonshine, which I loved so much. You know, Prohibition werewolves. Here we've got Prohibition Chicago demons running the gangs. And man, wouldn't it be cool if Cullen Bunn and Azello, the writer for Moonshine, did a crossover? It's like a match made in heaven. But anyway, then along the same lines, another comic series. This is a great time to be a Diesel Punk comics fan, folks. A brand new series just came out last week, Bitter Root. And Bitter Root is set in Harlem, New York City, during the Harlem Renaissance, during the Diesel era, the Jazz Age, and it's about a family of monster hunters, Harlem monster hunters. And, you know, think Supernatural set in 1920s Prohibition Harlem. And you've got all of these rich characters in the family. But here's what made it really special for me. It's written by it's by Walker Brown and Green. Let me see. I'm going to pull up the credits page here, and I'll tell you everybody's full name. Let's see. It's written by David Walker with art by Sanford Green and Chuck Brown. Now, if Sanford Green sounds familiar, he's the artist who did one of my favorite series last year, Power Man and Iron Fist. He's also the artist who did Legion of Monsters. Very stylized, very cool, you know, just really, I don't know how to explain it. It's kind of like a cross between, this will make sense to comic book art fans. It's like a cross between Jack Kirby and Bill Sienkiewicz art. So it's very stylized, very different. And here's my complaint, okay? I love this book. It was a quick read, a lot of fun. But, oh, and they call the monsters Geno. Here's what really bothers me, and this bothers me about a lot of modern comics. I don't remember any of the characters' names, and as I'm flipping through here, I can't see any of the characters' names even mentioned. That drives me crazy. You've got this great badass girl, you know, taking down this giant demon monster, and okay, Berg is one character. Okay, I found Berg. What's the other character's name? I don't know. Let's see. Cullen, Berg, and what is the girl's name? I don't know. I can't find it. So this is a trend in modern comics that drives me nuts. But the book is visually arresting. It's a great original story, and I love that it's set in Prohibition-era New York in Harlem. What a great place to set Monster Hunters. And again, what a great opportunity to do a crossover with Moonshine and the Damned. Unfortunately, they're different companies. Bitterroot is from Image. The Damned is from Oni Press. And I think Moonshine might be with Image as well, but you know, you could have this great shared universe, and you know, right now we don't. It's kind of a shame, but still very cool. Highly recommended. If you're into Dieselpunk comics, then Bitterroot is brand new. I highly recommend it. The Damned. And let me just add some other Dieselpunk comics that are coming out. The new Betty Page series. There's a new one coming out this week. Betty Page number one hits shelves. And Athena Voltaire is on shelves. And so you'll want to be checking that out and grabbing that. All right, guys, so that is what's going on in Dieselpunk in pop culture. Some of the pop culture Dieselpunk products that you can consume and enjoy. You've got Overlord in the theaters. You've got Fantastic Beasts, Crimes of Grindelwald in theaters. You've got coming up to a board game table near you, Reich Busters. And on comic shelves, you've got Bitterroot. you've got Athena Voltaire, Betty Page, and if you want to go shop the back issues, find the collected graphic novels, The Damned. Highly recommend it. Check it out. Lots of cool stuff. Well, guys and gals, that is it for my update for some of the pop culture stuff going on in the world of Diesel Punk. I hope you enjoyed it. And if you did, make sure you tell 200 or 300 of your closest friends and family. And the best way to do that is to post a review on iTunes, post a review, a 5-star review, post a comment, make it good. And that would be awesome. The other way you can support our show is to drop a tip in our digital tip jar. You can do that right here on the Diesel Punk Podcast homepage at dieselpunkpodcast.com, or you can do it at patreon.com/bigdaddycoolshows. Either one helps support the podcasts that we do. And we really, really appreciate it. Also, drop us a note. Let us know about what's going on in your area. Let us know what you're into, what you're reading, what you're watching. What did you think about Overlord and Fantastic Beasts? What do we know what need to know? First day with my new tongue. What do we need to know about that maybe we haven't shared with you? I'd love to hear from you. You can do that at feedback@dieselpunkpodcast.com or directly johnpica@johnpica.com. And hey, while you're looking for fantastic Christmas gifts, Christmas is coming. Christmas is coming. The goose is getting fat. We got some great holiday gift ideas. My book, Tales from the Flipside, The Adventures of Big Daddy Cool and the Bombshell Kittens. It's fast, it's fun, it's furious, and it's pure Diesel Punk pulp adventure. Only $10 on Amazon. You can get it for Kindle, Audible, an audio version, whatever your format. You can find a version of it. Tales from the Flipside by yours truly makes a great Christmas gift for the Diesel Punk in your life. Also, if you know someone who might be into magic and would love to learn, or maybe you do and you just want to buy yourself a gift, check out magicsubscriptionbox.com. That's magicsubscriptionbox.com. Use my promo code BDCMagic and take 50% off your first month. And then, if you're looking for some style in your life, check out soxy.com. That's S-O-X-Y. .com. They've got some of the best, coolest, visually arresting socks on the planet. You will be the talk of your office, the talk of your friend group with Soxy.com, but they don't just do socks. They do shoes and accessories, all kinds of stuff. Great quality, awesome prints and patterns. Check them out, Soxy.com. Well, guys and gals, that is it for me for this week. Until the next time, swing hard, swing often. We'll catch you on the flip side.